At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Now, before we get into this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah, I want to discuss our very first ad, Link. Unlike the traditional business card you have to throw out as you change companies, titles, and even states, Link is the new digital card that allows you to update your information as you progress through your career. With Link, you can share more than just your phone number and email address. You can include information like links to your social media, website, and even a podcast. There are tons of really great options on their website where you can choose from a traditional business card, plastic, wood, or metal, and much more. Personally, I decided to go with the keyring option that has an NFC chip and a QR code where anyone with a smartphone can scan and download my information. With Link, I am able to share my email address, phone number, and links to this amazing podcast, along with our website. Follow the link included in the description of this episode, and be sure to use the promo code NOWABOUTTHAT at checkout for 15% off whatever you purchase. Not only will you get a great deal, but you will also be helping grow Now About That with James and Sarah, the podcast where two friends talk about whatever. Now, on to this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And Sarah has a blood spot on her eye.
Yes, I do. And I also sound like trash.
I don't think you sound any different than normal.
Ouch.
I don't mean that's not what I meant. I can't tell that you sound like trash.
Just like, wow, James, thanks.
You always sound like trash.
You always sound bad, Sarah. Got it.
But this week, this is our last episode for season one, episode 48. I do want to clarify, we did say a few episodes back that we would end at episode 50, but some things came up and Sarah will be out of commission for a while. So we will be ending it at episode 48 for season one, but we will come back for season two in a few weeks or maybe a month, depending on how Sarah feels. And then we will pick back up.
Yay!
But today we're going to do kind of what we normally do at the beginning, just kind of do some quick catch up and see how things are going. And then we will look at, because June, this is the beginning of June, today is the 2nd, we will talk about some Pride Month activities that you can do in a way to show your support of Pride Month.
Yay, Pride!
Sarah, how are you dealing after your procedure?
You know, I feel pretty okay, except that they weren't able to get anything from my right ovary because it decided to hide behind my uterus. So that it's still very large and it is still very uncomfortable. I am walking around like I am carrying bowling balls in my pelvic region. So I'm just waddling around, waddle, waddle.
So it's basically like you have undescended testicles in your pelvis.
Pretty much. I've been questioning how people with testicles walk with them, because clearly I would not be able to do it. So,
well, most people with testicles have had a lot of practice.
I mean, that's also true. That's also true. But other than being like sore, obviously, my nausea finally lightened up a bit, which is nice, which is why I have a bloody eye. Pretty sure that a client at work thought I was an abused person because they did a double take when they saw my eye, and then I went to hand them something and I have a giant bruise on my wrist. Where I had to have an IV put in when I went to the hospital on Saturday night.
They were so, like, blink twice if you need help.
Right? I was like, please don't ask me. Please don't ask me. Please don't ask me.
Do you need me to order you a pizza?
Right? I'm just like, oh my God. All right. Internally, I'm going, please don't ask me to explain. But then my mom, when I was telling her about it, she was like, well, did you tell her that you're not being abused and that it's just health stuff? And I was like, no, I don't want to have that conversation with a stranger.
Just be like, excuse my appearance. I'm not being beaten at home. I'm just having my innards taken out in a few days.
Exactly. Don't mind me. I just have cancer. So I look like I'm being abused, but I'm not. I promise.
I'm being abused by my own body right now.
My own fucking body. You know what? It's your own body, though. It's your own body betraying you. So anyway.
That happens.
How are you? How was your week?
I always say the longest weeks are the ones that have a day at the beginning where you are off. Mm. Holiday weeks seem to be, for some reason, they seem to be the longest. This week, for those of you that are listening, we had Memorial Day on Monday, so I did not have to work, but it feels like I've worked for 7 days, even though it was only four. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's the mentality of, oh, I had the day off, but I'm ready to get to the weekend.
That makes sense.
I don't know. But it was a busy week. We had, I had a bunch of meetings for some stuff. We're looking at ESL programs and trying to figure out another way to give people access to an ESL program or ways to practice English or learn English themselves where it's not. So we have a program right now, and it's we can only facilitate 12 people at a time. So those that are not included in that 12 still need a way to practice or try and learn English themselves. So we had the Quincy Library came in on Tuesday, which was our first day back, and they were there for a few hours. They were there for an hour and a half, but I was very surprised by how many people actually stopped and talked to the library. I was kind of standing there to corral people as they walked by, like, hey, did you see that the library is here? Would you like to talk to them about their activities and their programs that they have? And I didn't really necessarily have to stop that many people because people were stopping and talking to them anyways. So they were curious, and they got at least 6 people, I think, that they got their contact information, and they're going to look at attending some of their sessions and maybe practicing their English with that group too.
Nice.
So I also had a meeting with someone from Rosetta Stone Company about... We're looking at potentially doing a contract with them where we purchase licenses and we facilitate training through the Rosetta Stone.
That'd be cool.
I'm excited about that. I also had a meeting today with Babbel, the other language learning app, Babbel. Mm-hmm. We have 19 languages that are in, that's their first language and the language they primarily speak, and they were like, yeah, we don't have all of the ones that you mentioned. So I mentioned, like, we have Cantonese, there's just general Chinese, there's also Mandarin, what's the other one, Burmese and Vietnamese are like the highest ones, and then also Portuguese are like the highest. It's the biggest quantity of people, or the biggest, what's the word I'm looking for, Sarah?
The biggest language speakers.
Population of language speakers. Those are the biggest ones. Biggest percentage. So, and they were like, the only one out of that we offer is Spanish and some Portuguese. Like, I don't know that they even have that many Portuguese. So
it's
she was
weird,
like,
that they wouldn't offer like any form of Chinese, considering that.
That's globally, what I said too. Yeah.
Globally, Chinese is the most spoken language in the world.
That's what I thought too. And I think it's maybe not so much, it's the platform, they don't have it translated in Chinese.
Mm, okay.
It's for people to interact with it in Chinese and then learn English is, I think, what the thing was. But she was basically, the woman that I talked to, she was really nice, but she was like, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and because I know everybody's time is precious, so I'm just going to let you know in advance, a lot of those languages that you listed, we don't offer them in our platform yet. But I will, she was like, I'll keep your contact information and we will reach out and I will let you know whenever we start offering those, because they are working on them. So it's like, okay, well then I will just continue the conversation, and I'm putting together a presentation to kind of show the intent to my director about how we're going to plan on using the platform and the expectation that we'll have on those that do actually use it. That way we can get approval to purchase the licenses. But we won't do anything until probably later in the third quarter. So not that big of a rush. And my manager goes on vacation next week. She's going to Jamaica.
Nice.
So I have all... I mean, I already started putting the presentation together. And what's really cool is I'm probably going to write my paper, my last paper for my class, on what, like, planning this proposal to my director. So that'll be fun, too.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that thing where I'm killing two birds with one stone and taking care of something for work and finishing up my stuff for school.
There you go. Speaking of school, I just registered for fall classes.
Ooh, that's exciting. What classes did you register for?
Art history, humanities. What else did I sign up for? Texas history. I don't remember what the other one was. But I ended up signing up for four classes, though potentially I will drop one of those before class actually starts this fall. But
Texas history. Yeah, I would too. But I mean, I understand you probably have to take it through their school.
Absolutely have to take Texas government. I don't necessarily have to take Texas history, but it was on my list. And it was the only one on the list that was having online classes this coming semester. So, because I could have taken U.S. history part two. I wanted to take African-American history, but they're not offering it for any online classes. And I'm obviously still not well enough to be going to the school.
Well, you might by fall.
Maybe, but I'm just thinking, like, between work and everything else, online classes are my best bet.
Yeah, I prefer online classes, but that's just because I don't like to socialize with people.
I also don't like to socialize with people as much anymore.
No. Speaking of pride, well, that has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, I know, but more socializing with people, that's what triggered it in my mind.
That's fair. That's reasonable.
At work, I was working with the DE&I lead, which diversity, equity, and inclusion, for those of you that don't know what DE&I means. But I was working with him last year at closer to the end of the year, trying to get... So our company has employee resource groups. I may have talked about them before, but they're really fun groups and they're really good ways to network and, like, meet other people in the company. Mm-hmm. And build your network outside of your daily, like, working activities. But I was working with him closer to the end of the year last year, trying to get our LGBTQIA plus employee resource group, or ERG is what we call them. I think what most companies that have them refer to them as. But the LGBTQIA plus and allies ERG, it's called Pride, which it used to be called, I don't remember, PACE. People accepting chain and challenging. I can't remember what the acronym was for, but they changed it to Pride a couple of years ago. And I was trying to get a Pride ERG started in our facility in Quincy. And, like, we emailed the global lead, and then we emailed, like, the global distribution list for the ERG, and, like, we got nothing. Which it was kind of odd, and it is still kind of odd that nothing happened. But we just this week had our VP of supply chain come and visit the facility, which was fun. He was really nice. And he had a lot of great feedback for us. So that was a lot of great information. But anyways, he was surprised that we didn't have a Pride chapter in our facility and ask about it. And, the HR person who works at our facility was like, yeah, we will gladly get it, but we would like to have it where it's an employee-led event. And Karen, my manager, was like, well, James actually was working on that, but it didn't go anywhere. Like, no one ever got back to him. So that'll be fun. She was like, do you want to... So our HR person reached out to me, and she was like, are you still interested in doing it and leading it? I was like, yeah, absolutely. She was like, I think it would be great if we could get it started in June. And that way it's like, I'm totally for that. I don't know how realistic it is because it's June 2nd and you typically, whenever you start a starty chapter, you have to plan for it for the next year, which is why I was trying to plan for it last year in like August. But she was like, I think because it's kind of someone on their side dropped the ball, they should pony up and just work with you and start it this year. So we'll see how that goes. But it would be pretty cool to, if we do get it started, to start it in Pride Month, or at least be able to kind of say, oh, it's Pride Month, we're going to be starting this before the end of the year.
Right.
As a way to kind of connect with LGBTQIA+ groups and members, and then allies as well. So that'll be fun. I'll be excited. Just add another thing to my plate because I don't have enough.
I was gonna say you don't have enough though. Oh.
I mean, I think the good thing is with my school, I'll be done in October, but I'm still kind of toying with the idea of working on something else after.
Right.
And getting something else. I don't know though, because they have, and I don't know why I didn't see it, or maybe they weren't offering it whenever I signed up for these classes, but they have a master's program for corporate training.
Oh.
I'm like, that makes more sense for me than what I'm doing. I mean, what I'm doing makes sense. It's perfectly fine because, I mean, I already technically do it, but a master's degree in, I think it's communication and corporate training or something like that. But I might look into doing that after I finish this master's degree. But I don't know. I might just stop for a little while because it's a lot.
It is a lot.
I have a lot going on anyway with work and this and the podcast. I would love to start actually focusing more on the podcast and try and actually like work on getting guests to join us and doing interviews and stuff like that, but
right.
Become more social media active. But
well, it's hard. I mean, you know,
it's hard when you actually hate social media to be active on social media.
That's fair.
Because like whenever I look at my personal social media, that's not our podcast. I think the last time I posted something was like a month or so ago. No, actually, it was probably last week, whenever we went to that bakery.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, that's all I post. Like, I post food or pictures or videos of Bobo.
Yeah.
Or pictures of the sites where we go in Tennessee. But I don't know. Maybe I need to take a class in social media, communication and social media.
Maybe.
That would be fun.
Yeah. It'd be lots of fun.
What is your feeling of social media? How do you think about it?
I have a love-hate relationship with social media. Because, like, on the one hand, I enjoy, like, reading other people's posts on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But then on the other hand, there's just so many stupid people.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't want to deal with these people.
So I still have Facebook on my phone. I downloaded it to sell that other MacBook that I had. And I just haven't deleted it. But I don't find myself going to it. Because I remember when I first had it on my phone,
mm-hmm.
that I was like, that was my thing. I would go to Facebook all the time. And that's where I spent most of my social media time. Now it's kind of transitioned to it's Instagram and TikTok. Like, that's my main used social media apps on my phone. And it's funny. Whenever I'm using social media and I'm watching TikTok, I have to have the sound on when I'm watching TikToks. But when I'm watching Reels on Instagram, I don't have the sound on most of the time.
Same. I'm like, if it's a TikTok, I have to have the sound on. But if it's an Instagram Reel, I'm okay with it.
I wonder why that is. It's weird.
It's really weird, but I do the same thing. I also do the same thing when I'm scrolling on Facebook, because Facebook has different like videos that you can watch. And I watch most of those without sound as well.
And I didn't know this, but apparently now anytime you post something on Instagram, it also posts on Facebook.
It can, yeah.
It can. I think it switched on my phone for some reason, and I didn't know about it. And Ryan told me the other day, he was like, oh no, I've seen you post things. And I was like, I don't post anything on Facebook, but it's because it posted on my Instagram.
Yeah, My Instagram, my personal Instagram, is not connected to my Facebook at all. So
I think it happened. There was like a few, like last year or sometime, it asked on, I think either Instagram, the direct messaging portion, or it was Messenger. It asked something about connecting it where you can get all your messages in one place. And I said, that's where I think I said yes. So it connected it, but I still don't get my Instagram messages on my
Messenger,
and I don't get my Messenger messages on Instagram. So I don't know. I said yes, but apparently it didn't take. I don't really know.
I think personally, I think social media has kind of gotten out of hand. Like, there's so much going on. And then, like, each platform tries to be like the other one.
Yeah.
So they add all this superfluous stuff. And I'm just like, bro.
Well, I think it's because they take a look, like, they see who's using what the most. So, like, Instagram looked and saw TikTok was like the most used platform, so they need to like get in on the like short form content that is created by TikTok, which now TikTok has, you can make up to 10 minute videos, which is like, that's not what TikTok is for. Right. I want short form content, no more than 3 minutes. If it's longer than 10 minutes, more than a minute or so, I'm gonna swipe up and move on to the next video, unless it's something that's like very, very interesting.
Yeah, stuff that's really, really interesting to me, I'll stick around. But like, I don't want to be there for 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes is just too long for some reason.
If I want to watch something that's 10 minutes long or longer, I'm going to YouTube.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to be on TikTok. I'm going to YouTube.
And I would watch it on my TV, not my phone.
Exactly.
Or my laptop, not my phone.
Yeah.
So Instagram, TikTok, take note. Listen to us. What's not clicking? I'm drinking coffee at 6 o'clock.
But I appreciate you. Did you say you're drinking coffee at 6 o'clock?
I am. But I'm one of those people that caffeine doesn't really affect me in that way.
Right. Caffeine didn't used to affect me in that way. But then after long COVID, everything got kind of fucked.
Yeah. Did you watch the video of Kitchen and Jorn, of her talking about her long COVID, Kristen, from BuzzFeed?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it. But I remember us talking about it and I was going to go watch it and then forgot.
Yeah.
I had kind of a weird week.
Her partner just recently, well, I think it was last year, transitioned. Bree.
Love that.
Very, very interesting. It's been interesting watching that journey.
Yeah,
for,
I bet.
For them as a couple and then for Bree as a individual.
Right.
And becoming more active on their YouTube videos as well.
It's funny that you mentioned transitioning because my mom recently learned that I use they, them pronouns.
Oh, yeah?
I did not intentionally tell her that.
So then she doesn't listen to our podcast.
She does not listen to the podcast, primarily because I told her not to. But no, I had sent her a picture of myself with, and I sent it to our group chat as well, of, you know, me smiling with my hair done, like, you know, special way. I have a little name tag on that says Sarah, and then underneath it says they, them. I forgot all about that little name tag when I sent it to my mother. I just thought she'd appreciate a cute picture of me. And she was just like, I didn't know that you used they, them pronouns. How long have you been doing that? And I'm like, a while. I just don't talk about it much. And she was like, oh, okay.
My pronouns are that bitch.
Like, I mean, good on my mom. Like, she didn't do anything crazy or say anything weird, but I was like, oh, this is awkward because I didn't actually mean for this to happen. Oops. So here we are. No, I think my mother would be scandalized if she listened to our podcast.
I mean, some of the episodes maybe, but most of them are pretty tame.
It's true. That's true.
Most of them are, we're talking about information that is important.
Also true.
Like, we're not talking about the 25 best ways to give a blowjob or anything. Nothing scandalous.
I mean, we could.
We could. And I'm looking forward to when we start up our next season, doing the movie reviews and potential book reviews.
I am also looking forward to that.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. And that'll be a way to kind of add some continuity to our podcast.
To our randomness.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it is a lot of random stuff. It's kind of themed where every month we have a sort of theme that we're talking about, but we mainly kind of just gab and discuss things.
Yeah. Which I think that's a lot of fun, to be honest.
Yeah.
Apparently my weather thing on my computer just popped up saying it's supposed to start raining. Oh, tomorrow. Why are you telling me about it right now then? Why are you making it sound like I have to do something about this now?
It was supposed to start raining here, storming, like thunderstorm here at like 3 o'clock, but then it's been moved and been moved and been moved. And now it's like, when I went outside just then with Bobo, it looked like it could start raining, but it's looked like that since like 4 o'clock.
Fair.
I wish it would rain because it's been like 86 today and it's like the humid hot. So it's gross.
Yeah. Gross. I hate when that happens.
Well,
I did want to share something that I found hilarious that I was telling James about yesterday. I had placed a grocery order for like some items to be delivered to my place. And one of the things I had ordered was potato salad because I really, really wanted potato salad. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna order potato salad. Get me a little container of potato salad, a little container of chicken salad, you know, have a good day. And so my order arrives and I'm unpacking my bags and I see the potato salad and it is 3 pounds of potato salad, not a little container of potato salad like I wanted, but 3 pounds.
Is it at least good potato salad? Have you tried it yet?
It's good potato salad. It's good. It's mustard potato salad, which is my preferred.
Yeah. Did you do what Sam had suggested and eat it with cottage cheese?
No, but only because I don't have any cottage cheese.
I feel like that's a very Caucasian thing to do.
Mixing potato salad with cottage cheese? Yeah, probably. I feel like mixing potato salad with any kind of cheese is kind of a Caucasian thing to do. But
it might be good with cheddar cheese.
It might be good with cheddar cheese. I don't know. I mean, I have some sprinkle cheese that I could put on, but I don't have any like cottage cheese or anything like that. But I could use my Mexican blend cheese.
I mean, hey, you are in Texas.
I am in Texas. It's just funny to me that, because you would think that I would have noticed a price difference when I was ordering said potato salad. Because, you know, wouldn't a bigger tub of potato salad be more expensive?
Yeah, unless they're trying to get rid of it.
I guess. I don't know. So everybody's just like, how are you going to eat all this potato salad when you've been super nauseous and throwing up for like a week? And I'm like, I don't know.
There are recipes that are cottage cheese potato salad.
Okay.
I've never even heard of that.
I hadn't either until Sam mentioned it. So
there's also this thing on slimmingviolet.com that says how to jazz up store-bought potato salad. Introducing a bit of crunch can elevate the texture of a store-bought potato salad to new heights. Try mixing in finely chopped red onions, celery, or bell peppers to give it a satisfying crunch. Red onions and celery are especially popular choices as they provide a delicious contrast to the softer potatoes.
I was going to say, my potato salad is made at HEB, so it already comes with all the good stuff in it. I literally don't have to spice it up. HEB does it for me. Because
what is HEB?
So HEB is the grocery store here in Texas. It's Texas owned and operated. It got started here in Texas. And like, I don't know. It's my favorite grocery store. My favorite grocery store used to be Kroger's, but then I moved away from Kroger's and now I have HEB and I will never go back.
My favorite grocery store was Oliver's in Santa Rosa. It was amazing. And we found a similar one here. It's called Dave's Marketplace. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. You went there with us when you were here. The only thing with it is it's sometimes hard to find some things there. So if we wanted something specific, like we would have to go to Target or somewhere like that.
Right. Like there are some things that HEB doesn't have, I'm sure. But generally speaking, the prices are pretty low for most items. And the quality of the HEB brand products is almost superior to the name brand products, just because like everything's from Texas. Like it's grown here. It's, you know, produced here.
That's the cool thing about that Dave's place. It's all local stuff too.
Yeah. So like, I'm just a big fan of HEB. I think they're great.
Well, Do you want to pop over and start talking about the ways to celebrate Pride?
Yeah.
So the first list we're going to look at is it's from Inside Thomas Reuters.
I think it's Reuters.
And it's a it's an article titled 10 Ways to Celebrate Pride Month. And then the first one on the list is attend a Pride parade or event from Singapore to Toronto and everywhere in between. There are many popular festivals and parades to attend throughout the month, the months of June and July. And then there is a link to www.gaypridecalendar.com/world that gives you a useful guide for events happening around cities near you.
Nice. Number two is be an ally. When someone in your life tells you that they are LGBTQIA+, it can be difficult to know how to respond. Your initial reaction may be one of surprise, excitement, confusion, discomfort, or none of the above. Be honest in your response, but you should also recognize the importance of your response and the impact it may have.
Ooh, I like this next one. But going back to that one, that's a great option to make sure if anyone ever comes out and tells you that they are a part of the LGBTQIA+ community, make sure you respond with positive intent and be honest and kind to that person because they have a lot going on. Don't give the excuse, well, you just told me, give me some time to adjust. It's like, no.
God. Yeah, don't do that.
It's not a good answer.
The other thing I was going to say is also please note that being an ally does not mean that you are the A.
Yeah.
A does not stand for ally. A stands for asexuals, aromantics, so on and so forth. It does not stand for ally. Please do not put yourself into the acronym.
Yeah.
Because that takes away from you actually being an ally. It just means you're taking up space that you shouldn't be in.
Exactly. And then the third item on this list is organize a t-shirt design contest. Encourage your employer to get involved by holding a t-shirt design contest. The winner of the contest will have their design printed on shirts and handed out to employees throughout the month. That's exciting. And that's kind of fun.
That would be exciting.
I think I might actually steal that and do something like that for our... see if we can do something like that for our the ERG that I am actually already a member of, and do like something to raise money for an LGBTQIA group in Boston or the Quincy area. And
that would be
maybe not a contest, but like have like paint and stuff and people can come and paint a t-shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I think that'd be great. Number four is volunteer or donate. Give back to the community through a volunteer initiative, such as supporting a local LGBTQIA+ youth or community center, or raising money for a charity/foundation, such as the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. And you can also find a great charity using Charity Navigator, which if you click on that link... I'm bringing it up right now. It takes you to charitynavigator.org and you can search by charity or cause. So it gives you a lot of different options to search, and it also gives you a list of the best charities. And one of the number one charities, one of the number one links that they have is for Pride Month with 12 charities that you can select from.
That's cool. And all of the links that we're talking about will be included in the description of this week's podcast. The next one is become an advocate. If your company doesn't already have a Pride employee network, then start one. The Thomson Reuter Pride at Work Employee Network was created to create a safe and inclusive workplace while remaining aligned with our business objectives, those of our customers and external partners, and the wider LGBTQIA+ community. Local chapters of our Pride at Work network are run by employees all over the world. So that's cool that this company has one. And it, like I said, it's cool that my company has one too. It makes you feel the people that are like in the LGBTQIA+ community, it makes them feel a little bit safer or more welcomed at their place of work when they have something like that. And they see that connection and recognition.
Yes. The next one is educate yourself. Do you know why we celebrate LGBTQIA plus Pride Month in June? Spend some time learning about the history of Pride, a movement precipitated by the Stonewall riots in 1969 in New York. That is one of the things that I actually was talking about earlier today with one of my coworkers, is that a lot of people are like, well, why isn't there straight pride and blah, blah, blah? And it's just like, because you didn't have to fight for the right to be recognized as a human being.
And you don't still have many legal issues going on right now. And
exactly.
Bills being presented at your legislature to delete your existence.
Yeah, literally trying to unalive the community. So you don't deserve a straight pride month because you're already protected for being straight. That's the default. And so I know that I've mentioned previously about like systemic stuff, where the system in place is supporting the like straight people or white people. Like those systems are in place to protect the people in power. It has nothing to do with protecting any of us. Ergo, y'all don't need a straight pride.
Yeah. And then the next one on this list is support LGBTQIA plus art and culture. The LGBTQIA plus art community is vibrant, influential, and persuasive. That's a really hard... No,
pervasive.
Wow. I thought it looked weird when I said it. Influential and pervasive. Go see an LGBTQIA plus themed show or movie. Visit an LGBTQIA plus art gallery or buy an album from an LGBTQIA plus artist. And when they say buy an album or visit LGBTQIA art, it's best to do to support a local artist.
Yeah.
Or like an indie artist that's small and not necessarily one that is backed by like a big recording company or a big art company.
Yeah, you want to support the little guys.
Yeah, so do some research and find someone you like in your local community or a small, like maybe someone on Etsy or something small like that.
Yeah,
that's not a corporate backed.
Exactly. The next one is consider your company's LGBTQIA plus inclusivity. Does your company have a culture and resources that promote LGBTQIA plus inclusivity? Is there something you can do to make your coworkers in the community feel more comfortable in your office? Is there a benefit that excludes LGBTQIA plus employees? Start a dialogue and make resources available to try to create a workplace where employees in the community will feel valued and accepted. They put a lot of, they repeat LGBTQIA plus a lot
yeah.
in
yeah.
these sentences. So if you hear me picking other words to describe us, that's why.
Yeah. And then the last two are kind of specific to this company, so I don't think we necessarily need to highlight them. But if you are interested in looking at them, feel free to go to this website in the description. It's for the Thomas Rutter's Foundation. But then the other one we had, and I think I sent it to you, from ADP.
Yes. Which is funny because ADP is who does my paychecks.
They used to do our paychecks too. Then we switched. I don't remember. I don't know. I think it's the SAP or something now that does it. But yeah, they used to be. What does ADP stand for?
I don't know.
Let's see. About ADP. It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
Oh.
Who knows? I like
automatic
this
list. Automatic data processing.
Okay.
There you go. Anyways, back to this list. So it's from ADP. It's on their website, and it looks like it's it's called Spark. Maybe like a blog or something that they have on their website, and it is an article by Brett Daniel called "How to Celebrate LGBTQIA or LGBTQ plus Pride Month at Work: 6 Ways." So this is mainly at work celebrations, and a lot of it looks like it's kind of the same as the stuff that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is host a Pride Month parade. I don't really know how much. How you can host a parade, or maybe get started in advance and look for like a local parade, and maybe your company can sponsor a pride
a float or something. Yeah. Cool. I like number two a lot because it asks, it says to ask LGBTQ plus people how to be supportive.
Yeah, it's like most of the, like the trend is like be open, like start up a dialogue with someone of that group and say, what do you see in the company that can be improved and make you, make the LGBTQ plus, QIA plus community feel more welcomed or more included at work? Because that's, I mean, even the next one on the list is host a plus panel. So discuss what it means and what plus means. And then like the different acronym or the different letters in the LGBTQ plus acronym.
Such as, you know, people who identify as asexual or non-binary.
Yeah.
Or pansexual. Like, I mean, I consider myself genderqueer, which would be part, like part Q and part plus.
Yeah. And then there's another one on here that's offer inclusive language learning opportunities. And I know whenever I read through some of the trainings at work, I'm like, and they haven't been updated for a really long time. I'm like, it just says he in here. It doesn't say like he or she, or it doesn't say anything neutral. It's specifically like it's gendered for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to like update it and be like the employee or the learner or like something right. That's like non-gendering. Or...
Yeah, because that's from a time frame where men were doing pretty much everything. So women yeah. weren't included.
So bring that awareness into your group or into your company and like looking at those types of things where it is maybe an outdated document or training that needs to be updated.
And then... there's another one in here that says host an allyship panel. Basically, you know, gather a panel of allies to discuss practical ways to support the LGBTQ plus community in at work. The panelists could discuss examples of allyship in action,
yeah.
Effective ways to express allyship and the importance of allyship generally. So, I think that's a good idea. If you want to be part of something, you want to consider yourself an ally, be a part of something like that.
Yeah. I do think that's a good thing, but I think that it's best to also make sure you include, if you're hosting a panel or something like that, make sure you're including someone from the group. And that goes for like anytime you host a panel. So if it's like,
yeah,
like during Black History Month, don't only have a panel full of Caucasian white people. Yeah.
Mayo people, please. Like,
know your audience. Come on.
Know the audience.
And include people from the actual group that you're discussing, because I know they're probably the most aware of what's going on right? in that group and the most knowledgeable.
They're the ones who know what's happening in their own community. So maybe listen to them when they talk.
And then we have another one that's 30 ideas to thoughtfully celebrate Pride from, what is this group? Goodgoodgood.co. Don't really know what that is. But it's very strangely written. Like, it's not highlighted as here's one through whatever. But I was just scrolling through it and I saw some of the ones that are like interesting to me. So there's read books by LGBTQ plus writers, watch documentaries, read about the pre-Stonewall LGBTQ plus history, take action, donate, those types of things where you're volunteering and donating money or your time. So like not everyone can donate money. I understand that. Sarah understands that.
Yep.
Donating time is sometimes just as valuable, if not more valuable than money, because sometimes it's really, especially if you're working with a small organization that's not for nonprofit, maybe they just need some hands that you can donate some time to, like write letters or help fold pamphlets or something like that.
Exactly. Like help mail out, you know, newsletters, things like that. Help come up with a newsletter even. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, especially if you live close to a major city, you're going to find that there's a lot more opportunities to be able to donate your time.
Yeah.
And then even then, if you're from a smaller community, help create that. Like where we grew up in Spencer, I remember the first year that we had Pride. It was a big deal.
Yeah. I remember the first year they had the original or the very first Pride festival in Spencer, and I don't know that I went to it the first year, but I went to it eventually, and
yeah.
I was worried that it I wouldn't feel safe.
Right.
But like it's very, I was surprised at how for the tiny little town that it is and the people that I know from that town, mm-hmm. how accepting and like actually supported you did feel while you were there.
Right. It's like, especially in small communities, if there's no organization in your small community, start it up.
Yeah.
Like small communities need it just as bad.
Or reach out to one of the surrounding communities and see what they can do to help your small community. Because maybe it's just they need to pass out some pamphlets or pass out some information about what they're doing in the community that's next to you that's a little bit larger that people that are in the LGBTQ+ community don't know about. And giving them that information can kind of maybe even save their life.
Yeah.
And then the other thing in here, it's learn about and avoid rainbow washing, which I think we can kind of see with a lot of the companies that are out there. They and one that's kind of big right now that is really in the news is Target.
Yep.
where they have their rainbow washing, where they have their big pride campaign, but then anytime they feel any kind of backlash or any kind of negative press about it, they kind of pull it back. And for those of you that don't know what's going on with Pride or with the Pride campaign and the Pride items at Target, there were a bunch of places where conservative people were attacking and threatening the lives of their employees. So a lot of the Pride merchandise and Pride displays either have been moved to the back of the store or completely removed from some of the Target locations altogether, because they're and I understand from a business and employee safety standpoint that their employees are being harassed and they're being threatened, so they need to take the employee's safety in hand. But think about those LGBTQ+ employees that are seeing the stuff being relegated to the back of the store or being taken out of the store altogether. So yeah. How do you think that employee feels when all somebody has to say is, oh, I don't agree with this. I don't think it's right. You shouldn't have this here. And it's like, come on, people. It's just a fucking flag. It's just a rainbow. Get over it.
Yeah. It's like, here's the thing, is that when the pandemic was first going on, there were people who were attacking employees for wearing masks.
Yeah.
But those companies still required their employees to wear masks. They just beefed up the security to protect their employees. Same concept. You don't back down from something that is right just because you get a little pushback. Like you step up and you stand firm in the decisions that you're making.
Yeah. So. And I'm kind of not a huge fan of having tacky things put on my clothing, and I don't usually wear a t-shirt or anything like that in public, so I won't buy anything like that. But if it's like maybe like a really nice painting or something like that, that or artwork or something that has a rainbow flag or it's an LGBTQIA+ community person, I might buy that. But I don't want your shitty $5 t-shirt that you upsell for $26 with a rainbow right. flag on it.
Homophobic, that's what that is.
It's like, so my thing with that is, if the sales are not promoting and giving back to the community, and part of the profit of that sale, those sales don't go to an LGBTQIA+ community or rights activist program or something like that, then you're just doing it to make money. It's like, unless you're actually backing up your action with giving back to that community, then it's really not worth it. And exactly. I think you should, it's like an empty gesture.
You're just commodifying somebody else's trauma at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless you are using that and giving it back, then don't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then there is the side where it's like, if they don't do it, then it's just... you're missing out, or it's not being highlighted. So I don't know, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah. But I think it's so funny because I was saying something today, something inconvenienced me at work, and I said it was homophobic.
Did you set it on fire?
No, but I did look at it and tell it that it was homophobic. I'm like, this is homophobia.
Ryan was having a very bad day today too. I don't know what it was, but we went to lunch and he wanted to go to Chipotle, so we went to the Chipotle that's not too far from us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they just didn't have enough people on staff or what, but like there were just people standing around. There was one person in the back actually doing something, and it was noon, so it's like that's the lunchtime for most people.
Yeah.
So we ended up not going there. So he was mad because he really wanted Chipotle. So we didn't get Chipotle. And then we went to Smash Burger, which was not too far from, it was like literally in the same strip mall as the Chipotle. And he went to go get Coke and there was something wrong with the Coke. And that's like, he wanted a Coke. And he was like, these are just signs that I should just call in today and not go to work. I'm like, then do it. I don't really know what to tell you.
Right.
If you're going to let these things ruin your day, just do it. Don't go to work. Stay home. We can watch movies or whatever.
Yeah. Like, stay home and enjoy yourself. Get some rest. It's the second day of Pride.
Yeah. And I mean, he didn't. He did go to work. So I don't know. But it was just like he was getting frustrated because he wanted food that he didn't get the food that he wanted. And then the Coke was messed up. And
yeah, just one of those days. That's how it felt for me, too, because I had to run all over the place trying to get this X-ray done for my surgery, which is a pain in the rear.
Yeah, I scheduled an appointment tomorrow to do my blood work.
Hey, there you go.
I didn't know that they did appointments, so I looked, because I didn't look until today. But I did look and I booked my appointment. It's at 9:40, which sucks, but it's just down the road, so it's not that big of a deal. And the thing is, they're only open until like 11, and the latest one that they had open was 9:40.
Oof.
So that was not fun.
I think what I really like about this article that we were talking about is specifically, I like the fact that it says, if you're an ally, don't make it all about you.
Yeah.
You know, specifically saying also the A in LGBTQIA is for asexual, agender, or aromantic, not ally. I appreciate that it put it in there. The other thing that I appreciate too is that it talks about like what to do after Pride Month is over.
Yeah.
Like make a plan to show up for people in the community after June. Like, because we still need access to healthcare, you know, we still need to fight these laws that are going into effect. We still need help July through May. Like, it's not like, okay, it's June and we get to like have all this fun and just do nothing else for the rest of the year. So, which actually makes me think of a question that I'd like to ask you, which is, what is your opinion on straight people being like taking up space, I guess I should say, in like queer spaces, like going there for like fun or whatever?
So like when you say that, my interpretation of that is like, my interpretation of that question is like asking, how do I feel about like bachelorette parties at a drag show or like a queer or a gay bar? Is that what you're asking?
Kind of. So, like, I mean, when I think a perfect example of this would be like when straight people go to the gay bars because it's quote unquote more fun, but they kind of treat it like a tourist stop kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how they treat it. If they're treating it like they're going to watch a spectacle and it's like, ooh, look at the freak, then yeah, that's kind of, it's, are they being respectful and just having fun, or are they, like you are saying, kind of treating it as like a, ooh, let's go look at the zoo and see the gay people in their habitat.
Right.
I'm also not the type of person to go to like gay bars and stuff like that because I don't like people. One.
Fair. Reasonable.
I don't like people, but I'm not a huge crowd person and I don't drink. So it's like there's nothing for me to do at a gay bar, and I don't dance. I'm not a dancer. I like music, but most of the time the music is too loud or annoying. I'm like an old person.
I mean, we are in our mid-30s, so.
I'm moving towards the geriatric gay, where I don't do anything.
We're elder millennials. Leave us alone.
But in that instance, it's like, if unless they're as long as they're being respectful and enjoying it, but not taking away from the actual community,
right.
It's fine. When they start taking away from the actual community, and like most like bridal showers or bachelorette parties, don't get sloppy drunk and make it about you. It's not about you.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's your bachelorette party. That's cool. Do something on your own. Don't go to a drag show and get on the
runway
stage or the runway with the drag show and not be expected to get thrown out of the party or the bar.
Right. I think as I've gotten older, I didn't used to feel this way, but as I've gotten older, I really want spaces that are just for queer people.
Yeah.
Like, I just,
well, I think my take on it is we're supposed to be, our community is supposed to be the accepting community.
Right.
And if you start restricting access to people that are allies or that are not LGBTQIA+, then you're kind of erring on the same side as if it was like a bar that said no to gay people, like no gay people allowed.
I guess I just feel like there was so much of that already, and like we've had to fight and shed blood and tears and sweat like for these spaces to be here and not be constantly raided by like police or things like that, that I feel like true allyship is not going to be upset at there being just a queer only space.
Yeah.
And just, but like, I feel the same way for, you know, other minority groups. I feel like Black people should have a space that's just theirs, where they don't have to cater to white people. They don't have to, you know, do anything like that. Yeah. They don't have to pretend to be comfortable.
I think the only thing that I would say in kind of a, how do I want to put it? Like a avoid the hazard is, are you really going to ask someone to, like, do you identify as LGBTQIA+ to get into, like,
right?
Like, how do you know that someone isn't?
Yeah.
And then, like, what do you do at that point? Because it's, right. It's kind of like the same thing. It's like, you can't, don't restrict someone, because you can't. It's kind of like the same thing that I don't want to, I'm trying not to be insensitive, but it's kind of like the same thing as a transgender person going into the bathroom of their, how they identify.
Right.
You would be kind of asking them, well, show me that you're actually a member of the LGBTQI+. But that's getting into a lot. It's not this. I know it's not the same, and I'm not saying right. It is, but that's kind of an analogy that I would put in. You're saying this is that it's only open to this community, but how do you, there's no way to regulate actually like who's part of the community.
Right. And I understand that. I don't know. There are some days where I just really don't want to deal with straight people, and it would just be nice to just have a space that is straight person free.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where you would like maybe go to an LGBTQIA+ community center that like it's mainly people that are members of the community.
Yeah.
Instead of a bar, because a bar really, I mean, anyone can go into a bar, but
right.
Mostly only members of that community would be at a community center that is specifically for that group.
True.
So there are places that you can go that aren't bars, I guess I would say.
Yes.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
Was on Help I Sexted My Boss this week. It was one of their listeners wrote in, and I was interested because I know how I would react, but I would be interested to see how you would. So it was about they work in a small group or a small company of like 12 people or 11 people, and every week or so their boss treats them to lunch, and everybody gets excited about, and they go like crazy, like BTS fan crazy for Chick-fil-A. And he was asking how they would approach letting them know that they don't support eating from that company, from that, because of how they donate to anti-LGBTQIA+
organizations and legislation.
Yeah. So how would you, setting aside the fact that you usually equate Chick-fil-A with dead people with funerals, what would you do in that situation where the company is paying for the lunch and everybody is excited about it, but you know that it's coming from that company that donates to those organizations that are anti-LGBTQIA+.
So this actually happened when I was working for the pharmacy. Like, they would get Chick-fil-A, and actually one of my bosses gave me a gift card for Chick-fil-A for Christmas. The way that I handle it is that I either just don't partake in it,
yeah,
which is pretty easy to do because as James mentioned, I think of Chick-fil-A as funeral food, which I think we've talked about on here before.
Yeah, we have.
So I'm almost never in the mood for it anyway. But also in the instance of like the gift card, it was a nice gesture of my boss to give that to me. But I knew I wasn't going to use it, so I gave it to somebody that I knew would.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I'm not giving them any of my money. So as long as I'm not giving them my money, I don't feel like it's a big deal.
Yeah. And that's kind of my answer. And I'm just now remembering it wasn't from the Help I Sexted My Boss. It was Very Delta Works podcast.
Mm.
I just remember that because then she went into Delta went into discussing, well, I would see, like, maybe someone would come up and say that, well, you buy and support like Coca-Cola, but they sell Coca-Cola products at Chick-fil-A. So Technically that company is working with a company that is donating to anti-LGBTQIA+ organizations.
If you think about it, and I think I mentioned this in our last podcast, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
Yeah.
Especially corporate capitalism, which is what we have here, where corporations have their fingers literally in everything. Which is why it's so difficult to like boycott certain products. So like boycotting Nestle is, that takes away so much because they do things besides chocolate. Like they do this, they do that. Like, you know, that kind of thing. I personally, I'm just like, I'm not giving them my money.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me. I don't hold everybody else to the same standards because I know that there are some people in the community who consider it a reclamation to buy Chick-fil-A, just being like, haha, fuck you, you know, I'm buying your food anyway. But I don't see it that way. I don't like doing that. So
yeah. And I think I would do the same thing where I would say I'm going to abstain. I don't really like that company. I don't like their food. I don't like Chick-fil-A anyways, but I think their food is subpar at best.
Right.
So I would say I'm going to abstain, partially because I'm not a huge fan of their food, but also their values do not align with mine.
Right.
So I don't see the need to give any money or have someone spend their money on me at that company.
Right.
And then if the discussion comes up and they ask, well, what do you mean? Can you elaborate on that? That's when I would go into, well, they donate a lot of money to anti-LGBTQIA+ communities, and I am, or not communities, organizations, and I am part of the LGBTQIA+ community. So they're actively donating to corporations that work
against
my good nature, or my nature, my personal,
against who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, it's aggravating, but it is what it is.
No.
I guess.
Well, what do you, or how do you plan, aside from getting your innards taken out, what do you see yourself doing to celebrate Pride Month?
I'm going to continue living my unapologetically queer life. I definitely want to start trying to like donate a little money here and there. Probably won't be able to do that this month, but carrying on Pride through, just because I know that there's a lot of kids out there right now who are really being negatively impacted by a lot of this new legislation.
Yeah. And I think, like we kind of talked about with that one article, just because you can't donate money doesn't mean you can't do something like donate time, or donate in some other way. Like
be a shoulder, you know, be something.
Yeah, even if it's just signing petitions. Like, I'm I say that I'm not a huge fan of petitions, because it's like I've never seen a petition that actually has done anything or been valuable, other than I can say, oh, I signed my name to that.
Right. Like, I remember signing like a lot of petitions back in the day, but I don't remember how many of them actually went through.
Yeah, it's like what I haven't seen any that I know of where action has been taken and followed through with after they've collected signatures.
Right. What about you? How are you going to celebrate Pride?
I think the same. I'm going to try and kind of just live my life unapologetically gay. And I think one of the things that I kind of talked about earlier is see about trying to get the Pride group at my work started, and how I can incorporate something into my work that gives back to a community that I live in.
Yeah.
So reach out to Bobo needs to go out, even though he just did. Reach out to like a local community and see, or a local organization, and see what we can do to partner with them, and like maybe do reach out, work with my YPN Young Professional Networks ERG, and do like the paint a t-shirt. Like, they'll get a free t-shirt and they can donate money to get a free t-shirt, and we'll donate that money to an organization that's in the area.
Yeah, and I love that. That's fantastic. I think if I'm feeling up to it, I would absolutely love to go to some of the Pride Month Pride parades.
Yeah, you're in Austin. There's a lot of Pride stuff in Austin.
There is.
Well, near Austin, you're not in Austin.
Yeah. So in the area that I'm in, Round Rock, I think our Pride is tomorrow. I'm probably not going to be able to go to that. I don't feel so good. but Pflugerville has one, I think, here in a week or two. So I might try to go to that. Just a chance to, like, I don't know, be there and enjoy being with the community. But I've been trying to do that in general. I went to a gay art show with a friend. That was nice. That was last month. And there was a lot of queer artists out there selling some great art, some great products, like handcrafted stuff, homemade jewelry. It was really cool. It was really nice.
Very cool. Well, do you want to call it a podcast, since my child is running around like a psychopath, like he needs to go out again?
Yes, let's call it a podcast.
All right, let me pull up my clothes.
Scripted clothes.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please like, comment, follow, and subscribe, and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our Instagram and Twitter handle is @NowAboutThatPod, and if there is a specific topic you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at NowAboutThatPod@gmail.com, or visit our website, www.NowAboutThatProductions.com. You can also give us a call or a text with any questions you would like us to answer on the podcast. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this season, because this is our last episode of season one. We will be coming back probably late June or early July with our next season.
Our all-new, improved next season.
Give Sarah some time to heal and work through her stuff, and then we will start with, we have our new we have our new song that we'll start off with, and that'll be fun. Intro and outro. And we have new ideas, so we're gonna change it up next season. That's exciting too.
Agreed.
All right, well, thanks everybody for listening, and Sarah, enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.